We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Power options. Kubota delivers the efficiency, power, and comfort to handle light construction, landscape work, and chores on the farm. Take on your toughest jobs with a Kubota. See your local dealer today.
Visit Barton Equipment just across the bridge in West Memphis. Call 870-735-2510 or visit bartonequip.com.
Hey guys, my name is Jason Tilson, firefighter from Black Canyon, Arizona, and I love Firehouse Subs because the more subs they sell, the more they are able to help save lives in our communities. That's why the guys at Firehouse Subs are introducing the new $5 snack time combo. From 2 to 5 p.m. every day, you can get a small sub, chips, and a 22-ounce drink all for just $5. So now, even an afternoon snack can help save lives because a portion of every Firehouse Subs purchase goes towards providing life-saving equipment for first responders all across the country. Thanks, guys. It means a lot to all of us.
New $5 snack time combo at Firehouse Subs. 2 to 5 p.m. every day. Get a small sub, 22-ounce drink, and chips for just $5. But hurry, it's for a limited time only. Firehouse Subs, founded by firemen. Firehouse of America will donate 0.13% of your purchases in 2017 at all U.S. locations to the Firehouse Subs Public Safety Foundation with a minimum donation of $1 million. For full details, visit firehouseubs.com.
Download the new 92.9 FM ESPN app. Search the app store for 92.9 FM ESPN. Listen, look, love. WMFS FM and HD1 Bartlett. WMFS Memphis. 92.9 FM ESPN presents the area's only national columnist who spends his afternoons bringing a unique perspective to Memphis radio. He'll make you think. He'll make you laugh. He'll sometimes make you change the station if children are around. And he apologizes in advance for that. It's 4 o'clock. Let's get into it. This is the Gary Parrish Show.
All right, I'm here. My name's Gary Parrish. Brad Carson's in studio producing the program. Glad he's with me. Glad you're with me. Hope you're getting through the day with no obstacles and no disruptions. I hope you've been over at TMZ earlier today to watch the video of Seattle Seahawks defensive end, All-Pro Michael Bennett, handcuffed on the ground outside of a club in Las Vegas, because that is the big sports story of the day, your lead headline on every national website. We're going to talk about it in just a second. First, though, let me set this afternoon's schedule for you. 425, Greg Doyle's going to be here. He's the award-winning columnist from the Indianapolis Star. He's with me every Wednesday in the first hour. Today's Wednesday, the first hour. We're going to talk to Doyle about a column he posted earlier today on a kid named Bryant Fitzgerald. He's a defensive back at Indiana. And this is a story I actually tweeted about when it first surfaced maybe a couple of weeks ago, how he was wronged by the adults that work at Indiana, misled by them, misguided by them, and it actually caused him to be ruled ineligible. The NCAA, like we've talked about many times, has a waiver process, and they could have undid this error, and they chose not to for reasons that made no sense to me. Greg Doyle has been investigating this situation. Makes no sense to him either. It's an interesting story just about the way the NCAA works, not so much about Indiana football. So I want to talk to Doyle about that. We're going to do it right around 425. When we finish that segment, we'll do four notable stories at 444, at which point we'll discuss four previously undiscussed stories. Among them, Matt Moore. My colleague CBS Sports wrote a Marc Gasol column earlier today. It's posted CBSSports.com. I also put it on the Facebook page. You can find it there. It's just some interesting thoughts on the future of Marc Gasol with the Memphis Grizzlies, with the headline basically being, at this point, he is untouchable. There's some thoughts that Boston and other franchises might have reached out to the Grizzlies about Marc Gasol in this offseason. Matt Moore says the Grizzlies are not entertaining offers from Marc Gasol right now, but could that change as this season unfolds? Certainly it could. We'll get into that story around 4:44. Ezekiel Elliott's six-game suspension was upheld last night. That said, he's still expected to play this weekend. A little bit of a confusing story if you don't follow it very closely. We'll get into that later on this hour. Arkansas State is no longer going to get a home game against the Miami Hurricanes. That was scheduled for this weekend. Miami has decided not to travel to Jonesboro because of the hurricane that is on its way to Florida. Difficult story to be strong on one side or the other, because, like, how do you tell people what they ought to do in the face of a hurricane that could possibly wreck their city? On the other hand, can you really not travel to Arkansas to play a football game because there's going to be a hurricane in Florida?
That's
maybe
the opposite way.
Maybe, but I can certainly understand why folks in Jonesboro and connected to Arkansas State University are upset. We'll get into that story just before 5 o'clock. And the Redbirds open a best-of-five series in the Pacific Coast League playoffs tonight against those evil Colorado Springs Sky Sox.
Oh, the Sky Sox.
So we have playoff baseball in the city tonight. We'll discuss during four notable stories at 4:44. 5 o'clock, Jeff Calkins will join me just like always. And at 5:25, interesting story connected to the way basketball players and football players are allowed to transfer at the Division I level. Posted yesterday while we were on the air, the NCAA has tried to clarify the situation. I don't think anything's imminent. There's not going to be change happening tomorrow or even later this year or even next year. But it's still an interesting concept that college basketball coaches and football coaches already are publicly standing up against. I'll explain it to you at 5:25, then we'll do dinner to go. So that's the rundown. We got a lot to get to, but I wanted to start with what is the biggest sports story in this country today, and that is Seattle Seahawks star defensive end Michael Bennett has accused police officers of pointing guns at him and using excessive force during an incident in Las Vegas last month. I'll just read you straight from ESPN.com so everybody understands the context of the story. Bennett posted a statement on his Twitter account Wednesday saying that he felt, quote, terrified and helpless, and he announced that he is considering filing a civil rights lawsuit. According to Bennett, the incident occurred in the early morning hours on August 27th after the Floyd Mayweather-Conor McGregor fight in Las Vegas when police apprehended him after hearing what sounded like gunshots in a crowded area. Bennett said officers pointed guns at him, quote, for doing nothing more than simply being a black man in the wrong place at the wrong time, and that they ordered him to lie down on the ground. Bennett wrote that one officer, with his gun drawn, warned him that he would blow his effing head off if he moved. Another officer jammed his knee into Bennett's back and handcuffed him. That's according to Bennett. Quote from Michael Bennett, the officer's excessive use of force was unbearable. I felt helpless as I lay there on the ground, handcuffed, facing the real-life threat of being killed. All I could think of was I'm going to die for no other reason than I am black and my skin color is somehow a threat. Bennett said he was placed in a police car before officers confirmed his identity, realized he was not a suspect, and released him, quote, without any legitimate justification for the officer's abusive conduct. Quote from Bennett, they apparently realized I was not a thug, common criminal, or ordinary black man, but instead Michael Bennett, a famous professional football player. Now, when Michael Bennett posted this early today, immediately the same people who always are on the opposite sides of subjects like these question whether this really happened to him, and, you know, if it did actually happen, where's the proof? And if it did actually happen, why is he just now speaking up against it? Within minutes, TMZ had video of Michael Bennett lying on the ground in Las Vegas, cop on top of him, handcuffed, and another cop pointing a gun at him from above. It does not show that a cop has a gun, like, to his head saying, I'll blow your effing head off. But at this point, Michael Bennett is already handcuffed, so it's possible that part of the story happened before the video began being recorded. Michael Bennett has explained subsequently in a press conference today that the reason he waited this long is because he wanted to explore all his legal options, retain an attorney, and figure out how to proceed. But he has stood by every word of his post earlier today, that the events of that night went down the way I'm telling you they went down. TMC has talked to people connected to the Las Vegas Police Department, and their explanation is that they thought there might be an active shooter and that they had told everybody to not move, and Michael Bennett was running, and so they apprehended the guy who was running. Michael Bennett's attorney has said they thought there was gunfire. Basically, everybody was running. Why they singled my client out, I do not know. But Michael Bennett wasn't doing anything more or less than basically everybody else who was in that club at the moment. And so what's interesting about this, besides the obvious, which is it shines a light on something we've been talking about in this country for quite some time now, more heavily since the Colin Kaepernick protest began last year, which was always the point of the Colin Kaepernick protest. What's interesting is that this has been Colin Kaepernick's biggest NFL outspoken supporter. You know, Michael Bennett is someone who has been sitting during the national anthem for preseason games and says he will continue to do it, to continue the protest that Colin Kaepernick began last year and can't continue at this moment because he's not on an NFL roster. Bennett has been outspoken, I think extremely thoughtful, elegant in with his words. And so of all the people that this could happen to, the idea that it happens to him is, I'm assuming coincidental, but still interesting. I've heard some people suggest that, well, maybe the cops targeted him because it's that Michael Bennett who's speaking out against us. That seems far-fetched to me. I imagine it's possible, but I think more likely than not, they tackled Michael Bennett and retained him because this is what often happens to black men in this country. So you posted on the Facebook page, and the same cast of characters who are always on the other side of everything are predictably, unbelievably, but predictably on the other side of this. They think that certainly Michael Bennett must have been up to something when there's literally no evidence that he was. They think that, hey, if you're looking for a large black man who could be an active shooter and there's a large black man running, then that's the guy you got to tackle. And I suppose I'll listen to that on some level, except there's no evidence that Michael Bennett was the only one running. All the evidence suggests that most people were running. They thought there was an active shooter. They were running away from the gunfire. But putting a gun to your head, telling him I'll blow your effing head off to an unarmed man who is insisting respectfully, because you can hear it on the TMZ video, that he did nothing wrong, saying, sir, I've done nothing wrong. Sir, I was here with my friends. He wasn't involved in a fight in the club. He wasn't drinking in the club. He wasn't on drugs in the club. He wasn't doing anything in the club except having a good time. And to then end up with a gun, according to Michael Bennett, if you take him at his word, and I don't think we have any reason not to, to end up with a gun pointed at your head and a cop saying, I will blow your effing head off if you move. Well, that is traumatizing. I don't care how big you are, how many sacks you got. And the larger problem, of course, is that basically every black man's got a story similar to this. You know, I was talking about it with Jason and John earlier today. And I always go back to that candid coach's question we did at CBSSports.com last year, because I thought the results of it were not surprising to me, but still, like, if you could present them to some of these people who insist still today that police brutality and how African-Americans are generally or often treated by law enforcement officials, the people who continue to insist this isn't really a problem, it's just all made up by the liberal media or Black Lives Matter or whatever. Like, if you could present the results to them and say, hey, look, here it is. Like, you think all these people are lying? Because we did that Candid Coaches series, and what we did was ask more than 100 college basketball coaches, head coaches and assistants, have you ever had a negative experience with law enforcement officials? Have you ever been scared for no reason other than the color of your skin because of law enforcement officials? And almost every white coach who responded said no. And almost every black coach who responded said yes. Danny Manning, Shaka Smart, Frank Haith, you name it. I mean, it just broke down like that. Just about every black coach said, of course, I've had a negative experience with law enforcement officials. You know, Danny Manning told the story. You know, he was the number one pick in the NBA draft, LA Clippers, living in LA. He was rich, young, black, and rich.
I had a nice car. Got pulled over. No reason. Out of the car, handcuffed, on his knees, side of the road. Cops just looking for any reason to bust him on something. He wasn't drinking. He wasn't on drugs. Nothing illegal in the car. No gun. They just assumed it got to be something. Because it's a young black dude in a really nice car. Got to be something going on here. He was just an awesome basketball player. Had a lot of money. Had a nice car. Same way most people with lots of money have nice cars. Like, everybody had a story like that. Frank Haith had a similar story. Shaka Smart had a similar story. David Fizdale. Same stories. And it just continues to be baffling that people continue to insist, not all, not even most anymore, but certainly some. And they're always there, forever disappointing. Insist that this isn't really a problem. I got people on the Facebook page asking me, well, why don't you post a story where the white guy gets thrown to the ground for no reason by the cops, handcuffed, gun to his head. I'll blow your effing brains out. Post that story. Well, where is that story? Is there a white, famous white football player recently or ever who's had that experience? Like, maybe. I'm not a historian and I don't have the best memory, but I don't know that story. And beyond that, the way white people are treated by police isn't generally regarded as a problem in this country. But the way black people are treated by police is generally regarded as a problem in this country. So this Michael Bennett story resonates. And it's just going to forever disappoint me that anytime a story like this happens, there are always people on the other side, and they're always the same people who are on the other side of what should be obvious to all of us. When you see people marching with neo-Nazis in Charlottesville, that should be obvious to all of us that that's not okay, that that should not be equated with the counter-protesters. And yet there's some people who say, no, counter-protesters are wrong, the neo-Nazis are wrong, everybody's wrong a little bit, everybody played a role. Those same people who say that are the same people who watch cops point guns at Michael Bennett for seemingly no good reason and try to rationalize that. They're always trying to rationalize these things that, frankly, shouldn't even be possible to try to rationalize them. It's always the same folks on the same side. And I know there's somebody out there thinking, well, you're always on the same side of these arguments as well. It's just the opposite side of us. Well, no. Because I'm not every time that there's a deadly encounter between a police officer and a person of color, I'm not always going to take the side of the person of color. Like, if you show me a video of a black guy or of any guy waving a gun at a cop, and a cop shoots that guy, I think we all agree, you get what you get. You want to point a gun at a cop, you get what you get. Nobody defends that guy. But it's the unarmed guy. It's the unarmed woman. It's the person who seems to be no threat. It's the person who doesn't appear to have been doing anything wrong. If you can watch that Michael Bennett video and watch one cop have him down on the ground, face to the concrete, arms handcuffed behind his back, and another cop pointing a gun at him, and that's really all we see. But if you can watch that video and try to rationalize what's happening in that video, you're the problem. That video should be the type of video we all agree on. I don't understand why people can post that video and the response not 100% be, oh, wow, that's messed up. Oh, wow, that's insane. Oh, wow, that's too bad. There are certain topics in this country where there shouldn't be another side. And that video qualifies. There shouldn't be another side to that. You shouldn't try to rationalize that. And the point Michael Bennett makes, and he made it at a press conference later this afternoon and actually had to walk away from the microphone because he was tearing up. He says, I'm a rich and famous person, and that can still happen to me. So this isn't just a rich-poor thing, because I'm rich. I'm wealthy. But those cops, they don't see me that way. They just saw me as a black guy. And unless you think all of the studies that have been conducted are fabricated, or every time David Fizdale speaks, he's lying, every time Michael Bennett speaks, he's lying, every time Danny Manning speaks, he's lying, every time Shaka Smart speaks, he's lying, every time basically any black man you know who has a story like this, unless you think they're all lying, then maybe stop acting like they're all lying and maybe acknowledge it for what it is. Because until that becomes universally unacceptable behavior, it'll continue to happen. And incredibly, in this country that we like to think is advanced to a degree that doesn't feel so, that is still acceptable behavior in some circles. And if you don't believe me, just go jump on Facebook. You'll find people who are, with their words, suggesting that what's in that video is acceptable behavior. And as long as those people exist, then it'll continue to be widely viewed by certain people as acceptable behavior. Greg Doyle's up next.
You know, the weather is perfect for golf, and it's the perfect time to join Irene Golf and Country Club off Hacks Cross Road near 385 and on the web at IreneGolfCC.com. There are multiple platinum membership options to choose from, all with no initiation fees. And the best part is you aren't even required to spend a monthly amount in the pro shop or the bar. If all you want to do is golf, then golf. Plus, all memberships include card and range balls. And if you join this month, your first month is free. That's right. If you join this month, Irene will give you your first month of membership free. Seniors, it's only $160 a month for all you can play Monday through Friday. 35 or younger, it's only $135 a month for the Young Executive Membership. Irene features a challenging layout with championship Bermuda greens, and the course is in excellent shape. And as always, don't forget all the other amenities Irene offers, like the restaurant, fitness center, pool, and tennis courts. Irene Golf and Country Club, right here in Memphis, off Hacks Cross Road near 385, and on the web at IreneGolfCC.com. Irene Golf and Country Club.
Summer is on the way out. Fall's just around the corner, so the clothes you wear are going to soon be changing, and that's why you need to get by James Davis to check out the new fall collection. My name is Gary Parrish. Been telling you about James Davis for years. Store is amazing. We're lucky to have it here in Memphis. They've got great deals on, among other things, five-pocket pants and performance and lifestyle fabrics and quarter zips, pullovers, and sports shirts. Do you like shirts you can wear untucked? Then check the new Johnny O shirts, stylish and sharp. Light sport coats that can go with jeans? James Davis has them. And don't forget about the Stant custom-made shirts. You'll walk in, and the folks at James Davis, they're going to take three measures. Literally takes seconds. Then they punch those measurements into a computer, and it spits out the name of one of 99 shirts inside James Davis. You're going to grab that shirt and quickly realize it looks like it was made specifically for you. Then you pick the fabric and the pattern, and a shirt's going to be made specifically for you, and it'll be ready in 7 days. Prices start at just $98. It's a great deal, as are the Paul Battinley suits at James Davis. Regularly $5.95 each, but right now, you can get two for just $7.95 with free alterations. We're talking both modern and classic fits available. So where are you shopping this week and forever? James Davis in the Laurelwood Shopping Center, on the web, jamesdavisstore.com.
Eric was way behind on his taxes.
I owed a lot of money to the IRS, almost $15,000. I tried to make payments.
The IRS wasn't satisfied with Eric's efforts, so they came after him full force.
They're coming to put a lien and a hold on all my income, my home, my car. I was just overwhelmed at what to do.
Then Eric called Optima Tax Relief.
When Optima Tax got involved, the calls would stop, the threats would stop. It was easy, like, 1, 2, 3.
Optima Tax Relief is A-plus rated by the Better Business Bureau, and their team of expert tax professionals took care of Eric's problem.
I owe $15,000, and now my debt is clean. I don't owe anything.
Take Eric's advice.
If you have a tax problem, you need to call Optima Tax now.
Call Optima Tax Relief for a free consultation. Call 800-804-9055. 800-804-9055. 800-804-9055.
Optima Tax Relief.
Some restrictions apply. For complete details, please visit OptimaTaxRelief.com.
It's about that time of the year when the Memphis weather really gets weird. You know how it is, and that it can produce some serious storms. So perhaps it's time to go ahead and put Danny Morrison Roofing in your phone. This is Gary Parrish, and I'm here to remind you that if your roof suffers some damage due to unpredictable weather, Danny Morrison can get you under a new roof at no out-of-pocket expense to you. That's right. Danny and his team will work directly with your insurance company to get you taken care of quickly and professionally, and most importantly, at no out-of-pocket cost to you. You've heard me talking about it for years, and people ask me all the time, if this is legit. I'm telling you, you can trust Danny Morrison to handle your roofing needs, and you can call him at 901-870-0186. That's 901-870-0186. Danny's company won Memphis Most last year in the category of best roofing contractor in the Mid-South. His team is experienced and knowledgeable and looking forward to your call. So call them. 901-870-0186. That's 901-870-0186. It's Danny Morrison Roofing. They're on the web at morrisonroofing.net. That's morrisonroofing.net.
Experience exhilarating midway rides, fair food, and an awesome youth talent show with today's Perks deal. A discounted family four-pack of tickets to the Mid-South Fair. Get yours at getmyperks.com.
Get down to Sandstown Hotel and Gambling Hall, Tunica, every weekend in September. Fridays went up to $500 slot dollars with Friday Night Football Frenzy, 7 to 11 p.m. Saturdays went up to $99,000 in cash with Spinaway, 1 to 5 p.m. Win slot dollars, electronics, and other prizes at our Man Cave giveaway. Saturday nights starting at 7 p.m. Must be 21 or older. Don't let the game get out of hand. Gambling problem? Call 1-888-777-9696.
Sam's Town Casino.
I'm loving this coffee because with every sip, I can save tons by downloading digital coupons at Kroger.com. I can even get a digital coupon for a free product every Friday. And every day, I can choose from over $400 in digital coupons. So I'm in.
Sign up for your free account and start saving more today at Kroger.com.
Enjoy Kroger ground beef for $1.99 a pound in the 5-pound roll. And yellow peaches are 99 cents a pound with card. Fresh food, low prices at Kroger.
Guests appear via the Smile Center hotline. Now, back to the Gary Parrish Show, live from the Bluff Restaurant and Sports Bar Studios on 92.9 FM ESPN.
CBS Sports wrote a column about Marc Gasol earlier today. We'll talk about it in the next segment. Jeff Calkins will be here at 5 o'clock. But right now, he's your award-winning columnist from the Indianapolis Star. It's the great Greg Doyle making the big interview.
The Big Interview, presented by Ruth's Chris Steakhouse, an award-winning columnist, one of the biggest names in sports. It's the Gary Parrish Show Big Interview with Greg Doyle, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
What's going on?
Greg Doyle, what's going on?
Folding laundry, what's going on with you?
Everything's good in my world. But I read your column earlier today on Bryant Fitzgerald. I'm glad you wrote about this because when the news first broke, I think it was over a weekend, like maybe on a Saturday a few weeks ago, that this young man had been ruled ineligible, no fault of his own. I retweeted the story and said, obviously, there could be more to the story, but if this is as it appears, shame on the NCAA because they had an opportunity to do the right thing by this student athlete and just give him a waiver to play immediately. For folks who don't know the story, somebody in the Indiana Compliance Department gave him bad information as it relates to what he needed to do to be eligible to compete as a freshman. He was just following the instructions of the adults on the Indiana campus whose job is literally to advise these student-athletes, and Indiana agrees with that assessment. The NCAA, far as I know, agrees with that assessment, and they could have just said, young man, you did nothing wrong. You listened to the people you were supposed to listen to. Some adult made a mistake here. We're going to give you the waiver to play immediately. They had the power to do that, and they chose not to do that. And you've been working on this story, I can tell, for several days, if not weeks, and you found no good justification for them not doing what I just suggested they should have done.
No, zero. They cut the kid a break. When you're not eligible, for whatever reason, You can't, I mean, the punishment, if that's the right word for it, is you can't play, you can't practice, and you can't get a scholarship either. The NCAA said to this kid, you can't play or practice, but we will let you go to college for free. We'll give you a scholarship. So they cut him a small break. I got a guy tweeting me today saying, so he's got all 4 years of eligibility. He's going to sit out a year. What a travesty, as in, sarcastic. And the guy that tweeted me that, on his Twitter bio, it says, you know, father of two or something. And I'm just stunned by people's inability to actually, like, the empathy. Imagine that you got two kids, apparently. Imagine one of your kids is that kid. And instead of getting to play this year as a freshman, he came to practice. And, I mean, it's kind of ostracized from the team. It's just not right. It's not, as far as tragedies go, it's not a tragedy. But IU screwed up. They made an honest mistake. It sucks. Honest mistake. NCAA made a very cold-blooded decision not to rectify that mistake, and that really sucks.
It's always so weird to me, and it doesn't matter whether we're talking about this or, as we were discussing in the opening segment, the Michael Bennett situation. There's always some people who try to, you know, like with the scholar, oh, big deal, the kid has to sit out a year. Like, who cares? Well, if it was your kid, you would care. And then people look at the Michael Bennett video, and they say, well, you know, the cops were just doing their jobs. What are you supposed to do? Well, like, if that was your son on the ground, handcuffed with a gun to his head for no reason, you think you would have the same reaction? That's always my question to anybody on the other side of issues like these. Take Michael Bennett out of it. Put your son in that scene. Are you still okay? Take this young man at Indiana out of it. Put your son in that scene. Are you still okay? Do you still have the same opinion? If not, then you're wrong.
I'm going to guess. I know the answer, and it's the same answer for the guy that tweeted me about my Indiana story. I'm going to guess that the guy that said no big deal about you know, Bennett, I'm going to guess that guy was white, yeah?
100%. They're always white.
Well, they are, aren't they? Well, it's hard for some folks, I'm sure both races, but we're talking about, in this case, you know, white with black. I'm sure it's very hard. I'm not sure. It's hard for some folks, frankly, whose hearts aren't big enough to empathize and to imagine themselves or their kids or whatever in the shoes of a black person. They just don't, some folks, they just don't think like that. And I don't mind saying a big general they to any of you folks who are like that, because it's folks like that that are the problem, a problem. God knows we got a lot more than one, but folks like that are a major problem, because if you can't see someone else as a human enough that actually could have been you, could have been your kid, could have been your brother, could have been your mom, whatever. If you really can't see someone because they have a different race and you can't empathize with them because it's just so too damn foreign to you, then I don't like sharing oxygen with you.
Well, like the Trayvon Martin story was similar. Like there were people arguing like against Trayvon Martin, and I'm like, if that were your teenage son, like would you, like, I'm sure there were like some people in my who live on my street who were probably arguing against Trayvon Martin and saying, like, well, you know, like, you knew what was the kid up to, and if he started the fight and whatever. And I'm like, you, like, if a white kid on my street was walking in his father's neighborhood tonight and got shot by somebody who claims to be neighborhood watch, there would not be a single person on my street who would defend what happened. And yet there were literally millions of people defending what happened to Trayvon Martin. It's just like, if you can't see the hypocrisy in that, like, it's kind of scary that some people can't see the hypocrisy in that.
Well, you know, dumb doesn't know it's dumb, okay? And crazy doesn't know it's crazy. But sometimes, and maybe even most of the time, racist doesn't know it's racist. It just doesn't know, because that is such an ugly word. And I'm going to channel that person for a second. Well, I'm not racist, because I know racism is evil. I'm not racist. I just think that the white guy had every right to shoot the black guy in the head. But I'm not racist. Don't you dare say that to me. But this black kid that lost a year of eligibility for no reason, no fault of his own, that's no big deal. But I'm not racist, because that would be wrong. I almost said it.
No, I hear you. It's like we laugh and chuckle as we're saying this, but it's like it's depressing. Like I've got people on my Facebook page right now, exactly as you just described. I'm not racist, but, like, right. If you start a sentence with, I'm not racist, but, you're about to tell on yourself. Because
yeah, you are. And also, my friends from back home will tell you, or my good friend, I mean, it's a joke, it's a cliche, but it is true. If you're falling back on the, but I have some black friends, all that means is you're lowering your standards for whatever reason for somebody, but you've got standards, and by and large, black folks don't meet them. I mean, that's what you're saying. That's what I'm hearing, anyway. And In my city, and Lord knows I'm losing folks left and right here, I'm sure, but here in my city, we've got a school, LaPel High School, LAPEL. By the way, do you know Elliot Bloom was the SID at Duke and is now director of operations at Purdue?
Yes.
He went to LaPel, played basketball anyway. So LaPel High has, I think there's a high school class of about 500. I don't mean senior class. The whole high school has 500 or 600 kids. And there are exactly seven black kids in that school, seven. So here's what eight or ten really, really brave patriotic Americans did a couple days ago. They all got together, outfitted their cars, and I'm guessing trucks, with Confederate flags, students, and drove to school, all wearing shirts or whatever, decorated with, emblazoned with, showing Confederate flags. And, of course, the principal called him in the office, and, you know, you can't do this sort of thing. But those kids have no idea. Like, they don't think they're racist, I'm guessing. They just think they're defending Southern heritage. First of all, you're 17, you're from Indianapolis. What do you know about Southern heritage in the 1960s? And second of all, if what you're doing is literally bone-chilling to an entire race of folks, then whether you mean it or not, that's racist. And it's just not that hard.
I don't know why it's so complicated for so many. I'm talking to Greg Doyle here, 92.9 FM ESPN. Back to your column. We'll circle it back. You know, the point I had made, and I got into a back and forth with another college basketball writer on this, because he was like, rules are rules. And, you know, if it doesn't, you know, somebody made a mistake, it's too bad, but the rules are the rules.
Well, so let's get rid of instant replay in baseball, too, because it doesn't matter that he was safe at home plate and replay shows it. Nope, guy called him out. World Series gets won by the other team, you dumbass.
Well, the point I made is that there's the rules are the rules, and then there's a waiver process to basically give the NCAA the ability to say, this is technically not okay according to our rules, but we're going to use common sense here and apply it, and we're going to rule you eligible. Literally, just last year, I did a story. You might remember this, maybe not. But there was a guy named Isaiah Brock, and he was in the Army. And a bunch of college basketball coaches did this thing where they went to Kuwait, and that's where he was stationed, and they just do a basketball camp for like a week. You know, they break the soldiers up into teams, and, you know, they have practices, and they have a tournament. And, you know, it's just to, like, give these people who are going through incredible things an opportunity to not think about the incredible things, even if it's just briefly. And so Greg Campy, who's the coach at Oakland, sees this kid. He's not a kid. He's a young man. He's 24 years old or whatever. And his name is Isaiah Brock, and he can play a little bit. Like, he's 6'7", and he's an athlete. And Greg Campy says, listen, I don't know what your future plans are, but if you ever are discharged and you have an interest in playing college basketball, I would love to have you at Oakland University and put you on full scholarship to get your education. And I don't know if you're good enough to help us. I'm just being honest with you. But, man, I think you seem like an amazing young person, and I would just like to have you in my locker room. I'd like to have you on my campus, and I'd like to give you the opportunity to, like, it'd be my way of paying you back for what you're doing for my country.
Wow.
And, right, okay. So the guy gets discharged. Greg Campy gets a phone call. Coach Campy, this is Isaiah Brock. I'd like to take you up on that offer. Hadn't seen him in a year or two. He enrolls him, puts him on scholarship. The guy takes summer courses and gets a 4.0 in the summer courses. And the NCAA rules him ineligible because they went back and looked at his high school transcripts.
Yeah.
And his high school transcripts didn't meet the minimum requirement for him to participate as a freshman. And his explanation was quite simply, I knew I was going to the Army. I never even talked to a guidance counselor about going to college, certainly not even playing college athletics. It wasn't even my goal. I didn't do what I could have done the work, but I didn't even try to do the work because I knew I was going to serve my country. And the NCAA still ruled him ineligible. So I write about this and just say, this is incredible. Like, this is the type of person the NCAA should want representing a university, like a student athlete. Like, he's by all accounts. Oh, by the way, he was also voted as like the student athlete representative at Oakland University. To the administration, like within months of being there. He was tutoring other student athletes while he was there. And I said, this is like to hold him accountable to something that happened 6 years ago when he was at a bad high school and had no dreams even of being a college athlete. That's insanity. And so Oakland appealed, and the NCAA said, okay, this is insanity. Somebody's made a bad decision here. Plus, it's a PR nightmare. And they gave him the waiver, and he played last year. They could have done the same thing for this young man at Indiana. And I will never understand how otherwise sensible adults can look at the situation you've described and say, we're going to punish the kid, even though it wasn't the kid's fault. When you're an organization that tries to fancy yourself as, we are doing everything we can in support of student athletes, and then you make a decision like this, you're not being consistent with what you say.
Well, and Indiana is the one that made the mistake. The NCAA could have said, we're going to dock you a scholarship. This can't happen. You got to be on your P's and Q's. Part of the story that no one knew until I found out is that this IU did this last year to somebody else. It's not apples and apples, but it's not apples and oranges either. It's apples and pears or something. It's really close. But they advised a kid, and I guess the most I'm going to say, and I wouldn't even say it in my story because around here people are going to read it and start guessing, but this kid has a name that IU fans know. Okay, this I'm not naming. By the way, this guy signed up to be the 19th person on the rowing team. No, this person is an athlete that IU fans know. They all know his name, or her name, whatever the case may be.
Gotcha.
Well, this kid, same thing happened. Only the IU appealed it, just like they appealed Brian Fitzgerald, and they happened to win that appeal. They appealed it on different grounds. They actually didn't appeal it on, we screwed up, please let the guy in, they or girl. They appealed it on some other grounds and got him or her in. But anyway, the point of that is that a year after IU did that once, they did it again, and this kid paid the price, and it's just awful. I know what I was trying to say earlier. When I talk about LaPel, I got sidetracked by myself, by talking about Elliot Bloom. What I wanted to say was, what the principal called the students into this office and said to them was, the students with the Confederate stuff.
Sure.
Is that, you know, you're 17, you don't know. You don't know what you don't know. But if you, in this climate, with as much information as out there, if you choose to be known as the guy in the Confederate flag on your truck and on your shirt and all that, if that's what you choose, then people, right or wrong, are going to think you're racist. Not everybody, but most black folks are going to think you're racist, and a lot of white folks are going to think you're racist. Whether you are or not, let me make this clear, whether you are racist or not, if you choose to wave that flag, there's a lot of folks that are going to think you are. And to which I say, And that's true. Like, that's indisputable. Whether,
well, again,
it's disputable. You might be racist, you might not. But it's indisputable that a big portion, a big portion of the population that sees you in that shirt is going to think right away you're racist. And if once you know that, if you know that wearing this shirt will brand me in some people's eyes as a racist, and you still choose to wear the shirt, that being branded a racist is not so repulsive to you that you don't take the shirt off, then I'm guessing you are a racist,
right?
Because nobody but a racist would be okay being called a racist. And someone, you know, I mean, I don't know how that's even disputable.
No, I like it's like amazing to me. Like I, like keep in mind, I live in Mississippi, so I see Confederate flags all the time, and that's the exact same point I've made to other people. Hey, I like you. I know you're a good dude, but like you flying that flag, like it portrays you in a certain way. Are you comfortable with that?
Right, because if you are comfortable with that, then, I mean, like, for example, if someone just started writing on Facebook that I do a certain thing with certain people, I don't want to go there, but if I get accused of something, I've got two choices. I can answer this charge and fix it, or I can just go silent and kind of send the message that, maybe it's true because I'm letting it happen. If you're wearing that shirt or waving that flag, you're basically saying, I'm okay with people thinking this about me, and that you should never be okay with anybody thinking that about you if you're not.
I agree. If you haven't read the column yet, it's at IndyStar.com. It's on Greg's Twitter feed. It is also on my Twitter feed. It's an interesting story about a young man who has been wronged by, accidentally wronged by Indiana and then intentionally wronged by the NCAA. You did a good job with it. Thank you for being here and talking about it.
Thank you for listening.
My man, Greg Doyle from the Indianapolis Star. He's on Twitter at Greg Doyle Star. When we come back, my colleague Matt Moore, CBSSports.com, has written a story about Mark Gasol that describes him as untouchable in trade talks. Is that untouchable for now or untouchable forever? We'll discuss after this break.
The Memphis Hustler are hosting open player tryouts, and the Grizzlies asked if Jason wants to try out.
It would be a great redemption story. Guy goes from a security guard, odd jobs man, to wood toter, to commercial appeal and preps writers, to radio guy, to deacon, to G League player.
And I'm going to try out.
When I say I'm going to do something on this show.
Jason and John, middays 11 a.m. till 2 p.m. on Memphis' sports station, 92.9 FM ESPN.
Joe Stewart Body Shop is the best body shop in town. They've got the original location at 2916 Summer Avenue. They've also got Joe Stewart Collision of Collierville. Family owned and operated since 1969. And for 4 years running, they're the winner of the Memphis Most Award for Best Car Repair Shop. They're certified by Mercedes-Benz. They're also certified by BMW, but they can work on any make or model. Take your car to Joe Stewart Body Shop. Taking your car anywhere else would be an accident.
Ken Rashes has everything you'll ever need to make your outdoor living something special. And when it comes to grilling, it doesn't get any more special than the Big Green Egg. Ken Rashes is an authorized platinum dealer of the Big Green Egg. Check out their egg cooking demos every Saturday, plus free delivery and assembly on all eggs sold in Shelby County. Come see the awesome Fire Magic Premium Gas Grill and their new outdoor kitchen. The Big Green Egg at Ken Rash Memphis, 3686 Summer Avenue. Call 458-7841 or visit kenrashmemphis.com.
How your teeth look can affect how you feel about yourself, and with today's advancements in dentistry, it's easy to change that appearance in just a few simple visits. Yes, you really can get a wider smile in less than 2 hours, and you won't ever dread going to the dentist anymore. Not after you check out the Smile Center at the corner of Poplar and Kirby in the Forum Building. The Smile Center, it is central to everything, and it's also comfortable and convenient. And this is Gary Parrish telling you, I'm speaking from experience. This is where my family goes. It's where your family should go. So if you're looking for a dentist, or if your dentist doesn't even know your name, call Dr. Mady Sadeghi. He and his staff, they make it really easy to take care of your smile, whether you're in need of a routine cleaning or something more cosmetic. That's the Smile Center at the corner of Poplar and Kirby. You can get more information at SmileCenterMemphis.com. That's SmileCenterMemphis.com, or call today to make an appointment. 309-1333, 309-1333. It's the Smile Center, taking comfort to a whole new level.
You deserve the wedding dress of your dreams. At David's Bridal, find gorgeous new arrivals for every style and budget. Shop select wedding dresses, originally $300 to $600, for just $99. And select designer wedding dresses, originally $700 to $1,600, now just $499. Plus $20 off bridesmaid dresses. So be bold, be flirty, be sweet. But whatever you do, be your own bride. Only at David's Bridal. Sale starts September 7th.
Gotta be a chef.
AutoZone presents Peak Performance. Maximizing fuel economy, engine life, and overall performance doesn't take a lot. Thanks to fuel treatment and fluids from AutoZone, right now you can save $4 on 16 ounces of Seafoam motor treatment for only $7.99. So visit your local AutoZone. With 64 Mid-South area locations, the right supplies and good advice are just around the corner. Let's get you what you need. See store for restrictions and details.
Sometimes the best seats in the house are above it. In college football, that's the Goodyear blimp. And for more than 60 years, we've seen what it takes to be worthy. It takes toughness, dedication, and perseverance. Because seasons aren't measured by wins and losses, but by heart. Some call it hard work, determination, or grit. We call it blimp worthy. Goodyear, official sponsor of the college football playoff.
For many businesses, hiring is tough. You want access to highly qualified candidates fast. And you don't want to sign a long-term contract or pay upfront fees. That's why you need Indeed.com, delivering six times more hires than any other job site, according to independent research. Indeed is offering new users a $50 credit to give their first job post premium visibility as a sponsored job. Redeem this offer at Indeed.com/credit. That's Indeed.com/credit. Terms, conditions, and quality standards apply.
Bill Street is world famous, but here's the truth. Folks who actually live and spend a lot of time downtown don't spend much time on Bill. The preferred destinations are actually just off of Bill Street, most notably Blind Bear. This is Gary Parrish, and I've been telling you for years about Blind Bear, the terrific bar owned by my friends that's just off the trolley tracks downtown on Main Street. The address is 119 South Main, but I'll make it easy for you. Blind Bear is on Main Street between Peabody Place and Gale, so within walking distance of FedEx Forum and AutoZone Park. The kitchen, it's open till 2 every night. Drinks are served till 3. Every night, so you can stay up late at Blind Bear, and there's always something going on. Got Texas Hold'em tournaments on Tuesday, Thursday, and Sunday nights, trivia on Wednesday nights, live music on Thursdays, Fridays, and Saturdays, and the Hungover Like a Bear brunch is available on Saturdays and Sundays starting at 11 a.m. So next time you're downtown, do what I do. When I'm looking for a drink or a bite of both, pop into Blind Bear at 119 South Main. For more info, visit blindbearmemphis.com. That's where you can find the menu, the calendar of events, everything. It's Blind Bear 901 on Twitter and Blind Bear Memphis on Facebook.
Kubota's Orange Opportunity Sales Event is going on now. Take on the tough jobs in a Kubota Standard L Series. With the right combination of dependable horsepower and ease of operation, they're perfect for the independent property owner. Now get financing as low as 0% APR for up to 84 months, plus great customer instant rebates and a 6-year warranty. After October 31st, 2017, see us or go to KubotaUSA.com for more information.
Visit your local Kubota dealer, TennesseeKubotaDealers.com.
Gossett Motorcars invites you to visit 929ESPN.com to play the college football pickoff with awesome prizes. Speaking of prizes, Gossett has hundreds. Check them out at GossettMotorcars.net.
Guests appear via the Smile Center hotline. Now, back to the Gary Parrish Show, live from the Bluff Restaurant and Sports Bar Studios on 92.9 FM ESPN.
New Amsterdam Vodkas. An 80-proof vodka made from the finest quality grains. It's 5 times distilled for unparalleled smoothness. Filtered 3 times to create a soft finish. How smooth is it, Brad Carson?
It's so smooth you can drink it straight.
So smooth you can drink it straight. There's not a weekend that passes I don't get a tweet from somebody or a text from somebody and they are turning up with a bottle of New Amsterdam. I always just take a picture, send it right back to them, and say, I'm turning up with you.
Same time, yeah.
Turning up with you.
Yeah.
And they got flavored vodkas as well. Peach, orange, mango, pineapple, red berry, raspberry, citron, coconut. Lemon is among the new flavors. Oh. If you haven't tried it yet, you should. Try them all. Just next time you're in a restaurant or a watering hole or your favorite wine and spirit store, make sure to ask for it by name. That's New Amsterdam Vodka. And they got the regular flavored vodka, but also the flavored vodkas. Fastest growing brand of vodka in the United States of America. That's our country.
Yeah.
The home of the something and the land of the something else.
Yeah, I'm starting to wonder about that motto. Land of the free, home of the brave. I've been listening to the show.
We might need to work on our motto or work on our country. One of the two.
I think that's a good point.
Maybe work on our mottos or work on our country.
Let's try to live up to that brand.
New Amsterdam Vodka. Pour your soul out.
Pour it out. That's a good motto. Pour your soul out?
Pour your soul out.
Yeah.
On the web, newamsterdamspirits.com. Jeff Coggan's going to be here at 5 o'clock, but right now I got 4 stories I'd like to discuss.
Now, Gary's 4 stories, presented by Bank of Bartlett. 4 notable stories at 4:44. Gary tends to lose focus, start telling stories, and forget what he wanted to talk about at certain points every afternoon. So we've developed a device that ensures he'll touch on important things you need to know each day at this time. This is GP's 4 notable stories at 4:44. Story number one.
So Matt Moore, my colleague over at CBS Sports, the tremendous NBA writer, wrote about Marc Gasol earlier today, just sort of laying out that Marc Gasol, while desirable, a desirable asset, according to NBA franchises, particularly ones who might be chasing a championship, like maybe the Boston Celtics, though he is a desirable asset, he is not something that the Memphis Grizzlies are interested in moving. Matt describes him as, quote, untouchable.
He's one of the untouchables.
He's one of the untouchables. Nice. Mike Conley, as Matt points out, is also considered by the Grizzlies front office as untouchable. And so it's just interesting because Mark's made some comments that have been interpreted by some to that he might be suggesting he'd be open to leaving. But certainly all of those comments have stopped short of a trade demand or a trade request. Sure. We're not talking about a Paul George situation. We're not talking about a Kyrie Irving situation, at least not yet. And so I've long been a believer and also a supporter of the idea that the Grizzlies are not going to entertain offers on Marc Gasol right now. If I were running the Grizzlies, I would not do that right now.
Right.
As I mentioned with Jason and John earlier today, I don't think every NBA market is like this market, but this market is like this.
Mm-hmm.
We're okay, for the most part, with just being good. It's fun being good.
Yes. We'll take an 8, 7, 6 seed.
7 straight years of relevant basketball, going to the playoffs, even though it hasn't amounted to much that one trip to the Western Conference Finals notwithstanding,
yep.
It's still been an awesome 7 years of Grizzlies basketball. It's incredible to know that basically every game for the past 7 years played inside FedEx Forum has mattered to some degree.
Yeah.
You're jockeying for playoff position. They're playoff games. Mm-hmm. Having basketball that matters is not something to be taken for granted. If it never results in a championship, it never results in a championship. I think most Grizzlies fans understand that and are fine with that.
Yeah.
So if you have an opportunity to remain good with Marc Gasol and Mike Conley, I have always said you try to remain good with Marc Gasol and Mike Conley. Stay good as long as you can be good. And so that seems to be the approach of the administration, mm-hmm. and I'm for that. Obviously, as Matt points out in the column, this could all change,
yeah.
and it could change for a couple of different reasons. The most obvious would be Marc Gasol does come to you and ask for a trade.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you don't have to move him, but an unhappy Marc Gasol probably isn't the best thing to have in your franchise, and I think it's well known that he and David Fizdale didn't quite see eye to eye on everything last season. If that continues this season and the team is struggling,
yeah.
it could lead to Mark wanting to just get on out of Memphis and be done with it. Also, this could be totally in the Grizzlies' best interest to get rid of Marc Gasol if this season doesn't go well. To be clear, once again, stay good as long as you can be good.
Yep.
But if while trying to stay good for the eighth consecutive season, you just fell,
right?
You're just not,
yep.
and you're out of the playoff picture as the trade deadline approaches, then I think I would be for.
Yep.
Taking offers on Marc Gasol.
Yeah.
And if you could get something that makes sense, that allows you to acquire young assets, draft picks, or interesting pieces,
yep.
Then you probably go ahead and do that. Because if you're bad this year, then there's no obvious reason to think you'll be better next year.
Yep.
And if you're going to be bad the next 2 years and not make the playoffs anyway, what is the point of having Marc Gasol on your roster if you can flip him for young assets, interesting pieces, or draft picks? And so, as of September 6th, the Grizzlies and I are on the exact same page. We ain't moving Marc Gasol for anything that it could reasonably be offered. If somebody wants to call about Kevin Durant, we'll listen to that.
Yeah.
But basically, the types of offers you could get from Marc Gasol right now, we're not even going to take those calls. But if this season doesn't go well at the trade deadline, I would probably be in favor of flipping him, particularly if he was also in favor of being flipped.
Story number two.
Ezekiel Elliott was on the field today with the Dallas Cowboys practicing, going through a padded workout. Mm. And Jason Garrett said he seems very focused, locked in on the meetings, for the walkthrough. We'll have a good practice today. He's done an excellent job in his preparation. This is all news because, as I'm sure you know,
yep.
The NFL's arbitrator, Harold Henderson, last night upheld Elliott's 6-game suspension. But because of the timing, he's still going to be able to play this weekend. A U.S. District Court judge will make a ruling Friday on the injunction Elliott is seeking to prevent the NFL's discipline. But nothing is going to be done in time to keep him from being on the field against the New York Giants. So he'll play Sunday. And then the most likely scenario is he's going to have to serve this suspension.
Yeah.
You know, there's just no legal mind I can find that thinks he has a realistic chance to not have to serve this suspension. So it is what it is. And if you want to have a larger conversation about whether the NFL should be in the business of investigating people who aren't technically criminals, mm-hmm. people who've never been charged with a crime,
yeah.
like that's an interesting conversation to have. We can have that another day. But as it relates specifically to Ezekiel Elliott, probably play this weekend and then at some point start
taking some time off.
Taking some time off
yeah.
and also losing a significant amount of money because
yeah, that's true.
He's not going to get paid for these games that he is unable to play because of a suspension.
Story number three.
The Miami Hurricanes are not going to be in Jonesboro, Arkansas this weekend. They are
canceling. They'll be in Miami for sure.
I don't know that they'll be in Miami for sure.
The Hurricanes will be.
Well, a hurricane will
yeah.
be. Hurricane Irma.
Yeah, the Irma's going to be there. But the team that's called the Hurricanes, this is a rough motto to have for your
And so when football. This story comes across,
yeah.
I...
This is an interesting story.
Listen, I'll tell you what I think.
Yeah, please.
It looks like they took advantage of an opportunity to not have to go to Jonesboro. It's a little bit like if right. you don't want to go to some party you've been invited to.
Yeah.
And your kid is sick.
Mm-hmm.
You could still maybe go to the party even though your kid is sick.
Right.
But if you call and say, hey, I'm not going to be able to make it. My kid is sick.
Yeah.
Like, you've got an excuse. That person is probably not going to be mad that you didn't show up
yeah.
because, hey, his kid's sick. The truth is, I could have gone to the party.
Yeah.
My wife could have taken care of the kid.
Yeah.
She usually does anyway.
Oh, yeah.
But if you want to use this unfortunate situation as an excuse not to do something you'd rather not do anyway, right. You have the opportunity to do it. That's what this feels like with Miami.
It does feel like that.
Because they say the, you know, Arkansas State said, we agreed to play Friday. We'll play whenever they want to play.
Yeah, they'll make it happen.
We'll play whenever you want to play. They just said, no, we're not going to do this. Ugh. And
that does suck for that university.
Of course it does. It could have been the biggest home game in a long, long time, if not ever. I mean, it's the Miami Hurricanes coming into Jonesboro, Arkansas. Like, Miami hasn't been great recently, but that's still a big, big brand in college football.
Yep.
To have them in Jonesboro would have been terrific. But they say that they were concerned about getting back to Miami. Well, they're private.
You're not going to make it, folks.
Well, it's not like they're flying Delta.
Right.
You know, they have a plane.
Right.
A chartered plane. They can they can fly whenever they want to fly.
Right.
And if Miami really does get hit the way it looks like it's going to get hit, like our office at CBSSports.com are in Fort Lauderdale. Our bosses
are
leaving. Like today, they're evacuating. It's going to be really, really bad. It's scary stuff.
I saw some of the pictures. People lined up at gas stations. It's bananas.
The last thing you'd want to do.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.